this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, we are hearing the prayers, actually the prayers of Kunkuin Kunti is just starting here. It's, Srila Prabhupada says, Mahajana Yena Katasapanta. So we lead our life in the footsteps of Mahajan. Even though Kunti Devi, Maharani Kunti's name is not mentioned as a 12 Mahajan, she is very close to Lord Krishna. She is as like a mother Yasoda. Like Queen Kunti Devi is also in the same category. Because Krishna personally every day goes and offers respects to Kunti Devi. But Kunti Devi understands that even though he in this particular life, he appears as my father's brother's son, like an aunt. Kunti Devi is an aunt of Krishna. But still she understands that Krishna is not an ordinary person. So that is why her prayers are very, very wonderful. Like so much so, Srila Prabhupada dedicated the whole book teachings of Queen Kunti. So this is like a, it is exactly what to pray and how to deal with the Lord and how to observe the Lord. Everything Maharani Kunti is teaching here. So Srila Prabhupada explains in the beginning, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna affirms that less intelligent persons mistake him to be an ordinary man like us. This is the Prabhupada quotes from Bhagavad Gita. So does anyone remember where does Krishna says about that? Less intelligent persons mistake him to be an ordinary man. Yes. Avajananti maam mudha manushim tanum ashrita parambhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Srila Prabhupada translates that. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the supreme lord of all that be. This is like a this is the characteristic of the fools. Fools, they just deride. Even though Lord Krishna is like a manusha rupam. Manushum tanum asrita. Even though he takes the human form, he is not a human. It's like human-like form. Sometimes when you think when Krishna is appearing and he performs the activities are exactly like a human activities. But even though they are human-like activities, but he is not a human. He is not a human being. He is like beyond this. So that is why, what the fools, they only observe this. That's why they say, Krishna, oh, fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They think, oh, it is Krishna is one among us. So it's like, I'm also going through this and Krishna is also suffering. So especially they say for Lord Ramachandra. Lord Ramachandra also, see, I am attached to my wife and this thing, all the problems, and Lord Ramachandra is also. No, Lord Ramachandra is not like that. Lord Ramachandra is Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada says, if Lord Ramachandra wanted, he could have married millions of Sitas. But for one Sita, to establish the religious principle, he killed the whole family of Ravan. He wanted to give protection. So this is what the Supreme Lord is. It's not like a, even though he appears as a human being, but he is not human. He is like a beyond the sense perception. That's what Kunti Maharani is saying. The same is confirmed herein by Queen Kunti. So we will find in the literature, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, everywhere, all the authorities, Bhishma Dev, Queen Kunti, Dharmaraj, Yudhishthira, everybody is saying the same thing. It's not that, okay, things are, somebody is saying something else, somebody is saying totally different. No, we don't have that problem actually. So everybody follows the same standard here. So the less intelligent persons are those who are rebel against the authority of the Lord. Such persons are known as asuras. Because this is like a Prabhupada classifies what is the difference between asuras and devas. Asuras and devas, they are Vishnu Bhakta Smrito Deva Asuras Tatvipariya. Vishnu Bhakta, those who are devotees of Vishnu, they are devas. Vipariya, the remaining people are asuras. Whoever it may be. Sometimes when we think asura means, you know, like a very ugly looking person, or like the horns will be protruding from the head. They are really asura. No, it is not that. Asura is not like that. Asura means if somebody is a devotee of the Lord, he is a deva. And anybody else is asura. There is a direct classification. There is no second this way or that way. So it's like if somebody is a devotee of the Lord, he is deva. And so otherwise, asura. So the less intelligent persons are those who rebel against the authority of the Lord. Such persons are known as asuras. The asuras cannot recognize the Lord's authority. When the Lord himself appears amongst as Rama, Narsinga, Varaha, or he is in his original form as Krishna, he performs many wonderful acts which are humanly impossible. This is again. So Lord has a mission also. Lord has a mission. Lord as a paritranaya sadhuna vinasaya duskrutam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Lord, why he appears? What is the need of Lord to appear in this material world? What is the need? Is anything lacking?
Huh?
Irreligion. Yes, that irreligion is one thing. That is not the main thing. He wants to enjoy the pastimes also with the devotees, associates. And also, he wants to, actually currently our mind is stolen by so many things actually. Somebody's mind is stolen by stock market, somebody's mind is stolen by cricket, somebody's mind is stolen by something, so many things. Our mind is still stolen by so many things actually. And Lord Krishna personally comes here and he performs his superhuman activity so that at least our mind can be stolen towards those activities. At least we will get attracted to those activities. He is like a businessman canvassing, like somebody you use this product, you will get this benefit. So Krishna is also coming. Krishna is canvassing. Na tad vasayate suryo, na sashanko na pavakah, yad gatvana nivartante tad dhama param. You please come. Like you say, come to Malaysia, come to Singapore. Like Krishna is also canvassing. You come to Madhama, you come to my abode. You come to my spiritual world, come to Goloka Vrindavan, where you don't have to pay, like no electricity, no moon, no sun, no gas, electricity. So all these problems are not there. So Krishna is also canvassing. And now we are so adamant, no, Krishna, okay, no, I am just like this cubicle, I am very happy, I am just want to enjoy life here only. So that is why Krishna comes, and he personally doesn't have to come, but he comes here with a mission, like somehow he wants to steal the mind. This is like somehow or other he wants to deliver us. That is why personally he comes and he fulfills his mission of taking us back home, back to God. But what happens? The foolish people, they think, oh, Krishna is also just like among us. Like Srila Prabhupada always, often gives the example, when the jail superintendent comes to the jail, all the prisoners also, oh, he is also one of the pickpockets. Okay, he has come to the jail just like it. No, like one time Gandhiji went to the jail. So he went to the jail just to give some good advice to the prisoners, not to as a prisoner actually. But people think, he is also in the jail, he is also like, I committed some crime and this fellow is also, he is also one among us. That's why the living entities, we think when Krishna is in the material world, he think, I am in the material world, because we are in the material world because of our own karma. But Krishna is in this material world, Atma Mayaya. In Bhagavad Gita 4th chapter, Krishna says, he is appear Atma Mayaya. By his own sweet will he appears. And when he can disappear, he can disappear. But our situation is not like that. Our appearance is also like that. Our disappearance also. Everything is forced actually. It is forced upon us. So Kunti Maharani's praying continues. Prabhupada explains in the purport. He performs many wonderful acts which are humanly impossible, as we shall find in the 10th canto of this great literature. Lord Sri Krishna exhibited his humanly impossible activities even from the days of his lying on the lap of his mother. He killed the putana, which, although she smeared her breast with poison, just to kill the Lord. So this is sometimes people have this understanding. Like I perform some sadhana, I perform some yoga, and then I become something. So they do the same thing, extrapolate the same. Krishna also performed this meditation and then he became God. No, Krishna doesn't have to perform anything because Krishna is God. From the God, whether he is in the lap of the mother or he is sitting in the Kurukshetra war, he is God. It's not that Krishna has to become God. Because if he has to become God, there is no God. Prabhupada said, we don't want the cheap gods actually. To become God, you don't have to become God, you be God. From the beginning only you God. So Krishna is that type of God. So what type of God? Like even though he is in the mother of the lap, at that time also he knew how to kill putana. It's not that he has to devise a mechanism how to. Sometimes Krishna also puts himself into a little bit of perplexity, thinking, what should I do? Even though he knows, sir, this is a tatasya karyam karanam sa vidyate. Krishna has so many energies and he doesn't have to personally do anything. Swabhaviki. It's just like automatically. Sometimes when you have to eat here, you don't have to be a rocket scientist how to eat. No, it's swabhaviki. Automatically you eat. The same way, Krishna, when he wants to perform an activity, that activity is performed swabhaviki. Naturally, that activity is performed. And Krishna is like a God. From even Prabhupada says, even the lap of the mother, he is God. It's not that he has to become God. So that is a bogus propaganda that one has to become, like they say, Buddha meditated, he became God. And then you also meditate, you become God.
No, we can't, because we are always, we are subordinate to God. It's not like nobody can, whether in the conditioned state or in the liberated state, we can never become God. God is always God and we are always living entities. We are just a part and parcel of God. That we can accept. Yes, mamai vamso, jiva loke, jiva bhuta sana. We are eternally parcel of Krishna. That much we can accept. Not, we can never become God. Srila Prabhupada continues, the Lord sucked her breast like a natural baby and he sucked her very life also. Similarly, he lifted up. This is interesting. Actually, the Lord is very neutral also. Even though Mother Yashoda is looking after him so nicely, gave mother's position. And Putana is a witch, Rakshasi. He came to kill Lord Krishna, and finally what Lord gave her? Also a mother's position. So this is the supreme neutrality of the Lord. Sometimes when somebody puts a garland, we think, okay, it's very good. Somebody throws stone at us, we get very angry. Why are you throwing stones at me? And we are not neutral. But Supreme Lord, if somebody is coming to kill him, same thing. And somebody is trying to look after him like a mother Yashoda, same mother's position is given. Like a Bhishma Dev was throwing arrows. And some devotees are throwing flowers on Krishna. And for Krishna, it is both are same. Because Krishna is enjoying the pastimes with Bhishma Dev, because Bhishma Dev is in the mood of chivalry. He wants to fight. That chivalry, Kshatriya spirit is there. And Krishna is enjoying that. And somebody is offering flowers in devotion, that also Krishna enjoys. So that is the way Krishna, we can't do that. We can't imitate Krishna. That is why we can, imitation of Krishna and following Krishna, there are two different things. We can't imitate Krishna. Srila Prabhupada again and again repeats. Again in the next pastime, he talks about the Govardhan Hill. He lifted the Govardhan Hill, just a boy picks up a frog's umbrella and stood several days continuously just to give protection to the residents of Vrindavan. These are some of the superhuman activities of the Lord described in the authoritative Vedic literatures like the Purana, Itihasas and Upanishads. So these are they are not like this is our British Bai, they have given us this. They are not a mythology. Sometimes some people call this as mythology. This is not mythology. This is like for example, if somebody says Gandhiji, Nehru, they are people. The people lived. Maybe 100 years ago they lived. So they are not called mythology. So Krishna lived 5000 years ago. So just because I cannot understand that, we can't call that as mythology. That is why people are making this mistake that they are mythology. This mythological story. This is not mythology. We are not, Vyasadeva is such a great saint. He is not wasting his time some mythology or some kind of imagination. He won't waste his time. He has better things to do than waste his time on mythology. So these things are factual activities which happened, Ramayana, Mahabharata, all the itihasa, they are all factual. This is not like some kind of people say or to give some understanding, these things are. No understanding. They are all like a physical fact. Just like you and me are existing, Lord Krishna is existing, Arjuna is existing, Kunti Devi is existing, all these things are existing. All these things happen. This is not some kind of mental adjustment or some kind of philosophy only. No. So, he has delivered wonderful instructions in the shape of Bhagavad Gita. So this is there. Lord Krishna, he has given this Bhagavad Gita and he has shown marvelous capacities as a hero, as a householder, as a teacher and as a renouncer. This is the beauty. Because Krishna is called Sampurna Bhagavan. So not that other people are not Bhagavan. Like Ramachandra Murthy also Bhagavan. Nrisingadeva also Bhagavan. But Krishna is called Sampurna Bhagavan. Why is Sampurna Bhagavan? He is like, whatever you want to do, all these things Krishna fulfills. Whatever you want to treat me as a son, treat me as a lover, treat me as an enemy, treat me this, everything. Whatever you want, Krishna fulfills. Like for example, in the case of Lord Ramachandra Murthi, they wanted the sages of Dandakaranya, they wanted to have Madhurya Rasa with Lord Ram. Not possible. Ekapatni Vrata. He is Ekapatni Vrata. So that means in this life he married only Sita Devi. That's it. So then, anyway, we know the pastime where all the sages of Naimisaranya, Dandakaranya, they also got the opportunity to participate in the Krishna Leela. So Krishna is called Sampurna Bhagavan. He broke all the rules. He doesn't have to, he is not abide by, I have to follow this rule or that rule. And he breaks all the rules also. But not for his own personal thing. He breaks the rule for his devotee. So actually that's why Srila Prabhupada in one lecture, he was saying, Krishna wants to declare Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Chibram Bhavati Dharmatma, Saswa Santim Nigachati, Kaunteya Prati Janehi, Name Bhakta Pranashati. He says, Name Bhakta Pranashati, my devotee will not be vanquished. Krishna makes this promise. And he doesn't make this promise himself, he says, you declare. He is asking Arjuna to declare. So Prabhupada explained, why Krishna is asking Arjuna to declare? Why can't he himself declare? Does anyone remember why? Why is like that? Why Krishna is asking Arjuna to declare? He is speaking Bhagavad Gita, he himself can declare. He is more authoritative. And Prabhupada gives the answer. We don't have to think. So Prabhupada, this next sentence only he gives. Because Krishna is more attached to his devotee. If a devotee says something, it is more meaning to Krishna than he himself says something. I am saying, okay, Krishna says something, that's fine. But Krishna, my devotee has said something. No, that will never go wrong. See, this is the whole idea of getting Asirvad. Like sometimes most of the people want to get blessings. Why do they want to give blessings? What is the just like by hand doing like that, it's not blessed. Because what is the blessing is, when the devotee says something, then Krishna listens to that more than what he thinks actually. So when devotee says something, it has more meaning. Because Krishna, we say, my devotee says something, come whatever may be, that will happen. Actually, it's interesting pastime where Bhishma Dev wanted, like we know, Krishna tests us actually. Krishna puts us into test. And one day, Bhishma Dev wanted to put Krishna into some test. I wanted to see which promise is more, which promise Krishna is more attached to. He says, one promise he said, I will not pick up any weapon. And other promise he said, my devotee will not be vanquished. So one day he fought so vigorously that Arjuna is just about to be killed. Just about to be killed. So at that time, all, everything, chariot, everything is smashed. And at that time he wanted to see, what is this Krishna going to do? Which promise? Whether he is going to leave, let Arjuna to be killed, or he is going to pick up any weapon or try to protect him. Immediately Krishna dropped everything and picked up the chariot wheel. Nothing was there. At least he picked up the chariot wheel and then just went towards Bhishma Dev to attack him. So Bhishma Dev dropped everything. Ah, this is what I wanted to see. Actually Bhishma Dev is putting him to test. It's like Krishna is putting us to test. And Bhishma Dev is such a great devotee. He is so much devotion. He is putting Krishna into test. And he is testing Krishna. Which for promises you are more attached to. So this is the and Krishna enjoys that also. It's not that, okay, oh, you Bhishma Dev, you are testing me. No. And he gave Bhishma Dev also, even though he is a devotee, and what Krishna said, because they have joined the wrong side, they have to be punished. So, see, like Krishna is very, this is the supreme neutrality of the Lord. How he much adheres to Dharma. Even though Bhishma Dev is a great devotee, still he is in the wrong side, still he is to be punished. So this is, Krishna doesn't spare anyone. That way, we are very, very safe if we follow the path of the Mahajans, Kunti Devi, Bhishma Dev, Yudhishthira Maharaj, all these great personalities will be protected. So Prabhupada continues here. He is accepted as a supreme personality of Godhead by such authoritative personality. All the personalities, Vyasa, Devala, Asita, Narada. So this is, Arjuna also says that in Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Sloki Sloka of Bhagavad Gita, the 10th chapter. The 12th and 13th sloka. Param Brahma Param Arjuna Uvacha, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Saswatam Divyam Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum Agustvam Rishayah Sarve Devarishi Naratastata Asito Devalo Vyasaha Swayam Saiva Bravishime. Arjuna said, you are the supreme personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. All the great sages such as Narada, Asita, Devala and Vyasa confirms this truth about you, and now you yourself are declaring it to me. So this is the beauty. Because Arjuna, when after hearing this Chatur Sloki of Bhagavad Gita, he is very enthralled, and he is saying, Param Brahma, you are the Supreme Lord, and you are Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, everything he says, and also he is substantiating that with the authorities. It's not that something I say, I just go away. It has to be, some substantiation has to be there. Some reference has to be there. That's why in the Vedic circles, we always give reference. Whatever the Shastra says, whatever the Bhagavad Gita says, what Chaitanya Charitamrita says, whatever the Upanishads are saying. This is very important. Not just like something in Hava Mena, we just say something and then go away. You can't just go in the court of law, you can't just go and argue like that. You have to have some references. Same way, here it is mentioned, he himself declared as much as in many places for the authentic literature. And yet there is a class of men with demoniac mentality who are always reluctant to accept the Lord as the supreme absolute truth. See, this is the problem. Because all the great personalities, like who are they? Devala Asita Vyasa. So do you think we have better understanding and better appreciation, realization of those? Because their full-time job is this. Actually, for us, spiritual life is only part-time actually. Not even part-time, like 24 hours, maybe a couple of hours only we are able to. That 2 hours only, the chanting, that becomes a big circus actually. And this here, this Asita, Devala, Vyasa, Narada, they are 24 hours. They are always meditating and they are giving their verdict. And then we are thinking our verdict is even better than their verdict. So then we have to understand how foolish we are. So it is better for us to all the acharyas they have given. Acharyas have given this. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned even Shankaracharya here. Shankaracharya, even though like he is. But even Shankaracharya, he says, Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam, Bhajamudamate. Even he at the last stage of his life, he saw, was one Brahmana, he was reading all the grammar, this thing, all these things. And then he was so concerned and he said, you are wasting your time reading all this different Vyakaran and Karma. You just worship Govinda. He says, Narayana para avyakta. Narayana is beyond this material creation. So he gives all these things. So with all these things, if we just still adhere to our understanding Krishna is a normal human being, then there is nothing there in the brain actually. The brain substance is completely empty. That is why we are thinking like that. Because, and Prabhupada says, why it is like that? Partially due to the poor fund of knowledge. Poor fund of knowledge. Because there is no knowledge. Because the knowledge is like completely missing. They think, you know, like knowledge is just like whatever they get from the newspaper or reading books, that knowledge. And this is due to the poor fund of knowledge and partially due to their stubborn obstinacy. Stubborn obstinacy. Obstinate. Very, very obstinate. There used to be the obstinacy. There used to be a nice story actually. There are two parties. One party was adhering, thinking that a knife is better. So other party is scissors is better. This is two parties. You know? There are two persons. So they all along the life they keep on arguing, knife is better, scissors is better, knife is better, scissors is better. So this fellow, even at that time, like the knife person, he caught hold of the scissors, but put into the water. He's about to die. Even dying itself, like this, he's going like this. Like show his scissors. Because even he's about to die, he's just sinking into this water. At that time itself also, even he can just sink like that. He's just sinking like this, scissors. At that time also he wants to give this message. See, that is our stubborn obstinacy is also like that. We are put into so much of distress, still thinking Krishna is a human being. Krishna is just like me. No, he's not Bhagavan. Because the fact is, everybody else is accepted as Bhagavan except Krishna. This is like a Bhagavan, so on, so India, you go on, so many people, like the Bhagavan is like available for everyone, Bhagavan, so on, so everybody, except, oh, Krishna, Krishna is just a coward boy, he's just an ordinary fellow. That's it, for everybody else is Bhagavan except Krishna. This is our unfortunate condition actually. So this partially due to the poor fund of knowledge and partially due to the stubborn obstinacy which results from various misdeeds in the past and present. That is the problem. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Esham dvantakatam pavam jananam punya karmanam te dvanta moha nirmuktva bhajante mam dridavrata. Only those persons who has all the sinful activities are eradicated, only those persons can take to devotional service seriously. Other people, no. That is why we are finding like it's not like you go to the race club, thousands and thousands of people are there. When you come to Bhagavatam class, only 100 people, 50 people, 60 people are there. Why? Tesham, dvanta, katam, papam. All these things have to be eradicated. Then only they can come here. And how they will eradicate? They're sitting in the call field, race course. How will they eradicate all these things?
Because the Harinam is going, prasadam distribution is happening, something or other. This is called Jnana Sukruti. Jnana Sukruti.
They don't want. The people in the street, they are not purposely coming and, oh, you are going to have Harinam, no, I am going to have you. No, some or other, some Hari, Nama, Krishna, something is going into the ears. So this is called Jnana Sukruti. Agyata Sukruti, Agyata Sukruti. Because our Prabhupada's, devotees asked this question to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, we didn't do any pious activities, anything. And then how did we become devotees? Prabhupada said, I created your pious credit. Prabhupada said, I created your pious deeds. Because by serving Srila Prabhupada, they got this so much piety. And this piety is not a material piety, like a giving some this thing, like a punya, normal punya. This is a devotional piety. So by doing this, one can be attracted to Krishna, and then one we can understand Krishna. He says, such persons could not recognize Lord Krishna even when he was present before them. Like we have a very typical example, like Shishupal. Shishupal was just in front of, he took a vow that he will keep on blaspheming Krishna. He said he could have surrendered to Krishna. Duryodhana, he could have surrendered to Krishna. No, he didn't surrender to Krishna. He was there, very well, in front of Krishna. And he was so, he was like his character, he wanted to arrest Krishna. This is foolishness actually. Like he thought, I will arrest Krishna so that we can win the battle. So he was present before them. Another difficulty is that when they depend more on their imperfect senses, cannot realize him as Supreme Lord. So imperfect senses. So this is like we are very bold. Show me God. If God shows, will you be able to see him? We can't even see the counselor. We can't even see the whatever the premier or whatever in this place. We can't even see them. And we say, oh, show me God. How can you? If God shows you, will you be able to see? God is there. Everywhere God is there. But it is like Prabhupada says, that is for the Mahabhavad. He can see God everywhere. But we are not able to see God everywhere. We are just seeing only the material manifestations only we are seeing. Stavara jangama dekhi. We all see everything and then we see only the external form only. We don't see the Paramatma inside and how the Lord is manifested. We are not able to see that. So, Prabhupada says, they want to know everything in their experimental knowledge, but it is not possible to know the Supreme Person by imperfect experimental knowledge. Imperfect. Our senses are imperfect. Senses are limited and we have a tendency to commit mistake, the cheating propensity and tendency to get cheated. All these four things are there. With this, we can't understand the Supreme Lord. And he is also Atokshaja. Atokshaja means beyond the sense perception. And how we can understand something beyond our sense perception with our limited senses? It is not possible. That is why we have to depend on the higher authorities. I will analyze, I will do some speculation, I will do some anumana, I will do some pratyaksha. No, you can't understand this Lord by pratyaksha, anumana. So we have to depend on the higher authority. Well, who is the higher authority? The higher authority, the Supreme Lord, all the great acharyas, and the sastra, sadhu sastra, guru. That way we have to understand. All our senses are imperfect. We claim to observe everything and everything. But we must admit that we observe things under certain material conditions only, which are also beyond our control. Beyond our control. Like it says now, I am not able to see. We have to put our glasses. We are not able to hear. I have to put a hearing aid. And we have to walk. We have to walking stick. Everything is limited. This whole body mechanism is limited. And we have so much audacity thinking that I want to challenge God. If I have to go to toilet, I have to run to the toilet. I can't control the balls. Like if I have to go, I have to run. You can't even control that one sensation. And we say, I will control. I am the Supreme Lord. I am Supreme Control. Why you have to go to doctor for toothache if you are a Supreme Lord? You don't have to go to doctor. You can cure yourself and the disease will not even come to you. So this is not the definition of God. This is a cheap God. We want God. It's like a Bhagavan. Aishwaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yasasasriya, Jnana Vairagya, Yoschaiva, Sannam Bhaga, Iti Ganan. All the six opulences are in absolute, infinite degree in the Supreme Lord. We want that type of God. Not just like imitation God. The Lord is beyond the observation of sense perception. Kunti, the Queen Kunti accepts this deficiency of the conditioned soul, especially the woman class who are less intelligent. This is like a
Here, less intelligent only is so much of nice prayers. I wish I can be less intelligent only, because this is, here you see the prayers of Kunti Devi. She is considering herself, even though she is such a great devotee, such a great personality, she is considering herself as less intelligent, and then thinking and offering these prayers, and this all the prayers are going to come. They are like a heart melting actually. One prayer Kunti Devi says, just to give a preview, she says, all the calamities we have undergone, let them happen again. Here in the material world, nobody wants calamities. Everybody wants to be free from calamity. I want no problem at all. I don't want to have any problem. But this, here is such a devotee, Maharani Kunti, she is praying that let all the calamities happen again. You may be thinking, is some weird person or something? Why is she saying all the calamities have to happen again? Because she is saying, if the calamities happen, then we will have your darshan. A punar bhava darshan. Then we don't have to take repeated material birth. We will have your darshan. We will have always in your association. So this is the caliber of Maharani Kunti's devotion. So she is such a great devotee that she doesn't even mind all the, what kind of difficulty, starting from the poison cake and all the Draupadi, Vastraharan, so many problems, so many difficulties, and she doesn't even mind any of that if she can have the association of the Lord. So that is her great, but Bharasana, if you have a little bit problem, little bit of headache, little bit of this thing, toothache, immediately we forget Krishna. Oh Krishna, I'm chanting 16 rounds, you are still giving all these things for me. Don't you have some understanding? We immediately blame Krishna. And Kunti Devi wants to go through all the calamities, still she wants to be a devotee of the Lord. That is the Anya Vilashita Sumi. No expectation, no return. If Krishna, you make me broken hearted, still you are my Lord. You embrace me, still you are my Lord. That type of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. This is like that devotion Kunti Devi is teaching. This is what we all have to aspire for. This is what our aspiration should be, like we somehow, whatever Lord gives, we take it as Krishna's mercy. Tattena tampam susumikshamana bunjana evatma kritam vipaham. Because this is Lord's mercy. Lord is giving whatever, even though apparently if somebody is going through suffering, that suffering is also because of our past karma. And Lord is giving only token reaction. So let us take this as a token reaction, and then we remain faithful to the Lord and continue our worship to the Lord. And Lord says that person is the fit person to go back home, back to Godhead. So Krishna has made it very clear. So we don't have to worry about that. Sri Prabhupada says, Queen Kunti accepts this deficiency of the conditioned soul, especially of the woman class who are less intelligent. For less intelligent man, there must be such things as temples, mosques or churches, so that they may begin to recognize the authority of the Lord. So we should not think the temple worship only for less intelligent. For less intelligent people also it is good. Not that, okay, I am advanced, so I don't have to come to temple. I will be at home only. No. So this is like an advanced devotee, like a Madhavendra Puri. We all know Madhavendra Puri, so Ishwara Puri Maharaja's spiritual master. Madhavendra Puri, he was saying, I'm just, the different type of bathing, Sandhya Vandan, different type of forefathers worship, I can't do anything, but wherever I am, I'm just thinking about the Yadava Kula Tilaka Krishna, and that is sufficient for me. He can say that. Madhavendra Puri, for him it's okay. For us it's not like that. Madhavendra Puri, he used to see only the cloud and he used to faint. Do you faint? Anyone faints? Just seeing the cloud, then you don't have to come to temple. But we see something else and faint. That is a different thing. We see so many other things and faint, but not seeing the cloud. Because he sees the cloud. Meha. This is like a Krishna's color. He sees the color and immediately faints. But we find something else. So we can't imitate Madhavendra Puri. The temple worship is not needed for me. Yes, it is needed for us. Sometimes like we think when Prabhupada refers to neophyte, and because actually we are all in a neophyte condition. At least I can talk about myself. Neophyte condition. We are not like advanced devotees like Madhavendra Puri. They just think of Krishna and immediately they find. We are not on that level. So these things are needed. So Prabhupada says, the mass churches, temples, so that they may begin to recognize the authority of the Lord and hear about Him from the authorities in such holy places. Holy places, this is a holy place. Coming to a holy place is just to hear from the authority.
Srila Prabhupada says, I'm going to holy places, it's not to just to take a dip in the holy water and then come back. Okay, you will have some benefit. Not that okay, you won't have the benefit. But the main thing is you go to the holy place and hear some katha. Katha means like a, not a grama katha. You hear some Krishna katha from that the devotees there. That is what is needed. For less intelligent man, this beginning of spiritual life is essential, and only foolish men decry the establishment of such places of worship which are required to raise the standard of spiritual attributes for the mass of people. For less intelligent persons, bowing down before the authority of the Lord as generally done in the temple, mosque or churches is as beneficial as it is for the advanced devotees to meditate upon him by active service. Advanced devotee also, he meditates. Advanced devotee, he always thinks. Actually, advanced devotee has one problem actually. Advanced devotee, what is the problem is? Advanced devotee says everything is, he says everybody is advanced. I am only the follower. This is quite contrast actually. The neophyte thinks everybody is fallen, I am the greatest. But advanced devotee thinks everybody is advanced, I am the fallen. So in that situation he can't even preach actually. He says, oh, he is already Krishna Kanchi, he is Krishna Kanchi, he is Krishna. Only I am not Krishna Kanchi, so I should become Krishna Kanchi. He is thinking about him. He just always, he is Krishna. That way he doesn't distinguish anyone. So he comes to the level of Madhyama Adhikari, then only he can preach. He can distinguish, oh, he's a neutral person, he's an envious person, we have to avoid him. He's an innocent person, we have to preach to him. He's an advanced person, we have to take association from him. So these type of things only a Madhyama Adhikari can do. So in this prayers, Maharani Kunti is teaching us what to pray and how to pray and the mood. Like so much familiar. Sometimes they say familiarity breeds contempt. But here, so much familiar with Lord Krishna, but still she maintains that, yes, Krishna, you are my cousin, but your nephew, but still you are the Supreme Lord. Andar Bahi, you are outside, you are inside also. All these different prayers we can meditate, and that way we can follow in the footsteps of all the Mahajans and the great Acharyas, so our devotion is protected. Just stop here. If there's any questions or comments, please. Yes, Mataji?
Prabhu, at the beginning of the lecture, you said that those who follow Vishnu are devas.
Yes.
And those who, all others are asuras.
Yes, that is the Shastra says like that.
So, in what category do you follow the demigods coming?
The demigods category, they are, if they are demigods, or if they are as a servants of Lord Krishna, if they are following them, then they are also devas. If the demigods are considered they are authoritative or independent, then they are called asuras. Like Ravan. Ravan is a Brahmana. Ravan is a Brahmana actually. It's not a. But he was like inimical to the Lord. Lord Ram. So he is asura. So even though he was a Brahmana, but still he was asura. So Sukracharya, he was a Brahmana, but he didn't want to give it to. So that is mentality. The mentality of that is asuric mentality. If somebody considered Supreme Lord, and see, devatas are also part and parcel of Lord. So, devatas are the empowered agents of the Lord. If somebody worships the devata, we don't have to worship, there is no need. But if somebody, you are such a great devotee of the Lord, like then that type of worship is okay. Like you offer respects to them. Like we worship Lord Shiva, we worship Lord Ganesh, we give respects. We have great regards for them because they are the executive heads of the different departments. So that way we give respect, that is fine. But we don't worship them independent, oh, you are the Supreme Lord, you are the Supreme Controller, you only maintain, you only create everything. No, not that type of worship. Okay. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Maharani Kunti ki. Jai.